Isurim that we'll be dealing with in this perek. One is Hatmana, one is Shehiyah, and one is Hachazara. Hatmana, Rashi mixes in Hatmana all over here, and Taisus doesn't agree with Rashi. The second Taisus in the perek, Lamed Vav on the base, Rashi talks about Motiv Hevel, not Motiv Hevel. That has to do with the prohibition of Hatmana Mivod Yom. Hatmana on Shabbos is also, even if it's only Mamed Hevel. And Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is also only if it's Moshe V'Hevel. So Rashi says that we're discussing Hatmana. And Taisi disagrees because Hatmana is only applicable when the Dovah HaMatmin is touching the pot that you're being matmin. But if you have you put the pot inside the oven and you have the walls are not touching and the heat is not the tangible thing, so Taisi holds that that's not a violation of Hatmana. So we assume like Taisi. So Taisa says we're only discussing two, on this Mishnah we're discussing two topics. Hatmana will come up later. Another paragraph. So we're discussing over here the two topics. One is Shehiyah, one is Hachazar. Shehiyah is if you leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. So we pointed out that's an exception to the rule of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis has the Machlokes B'Sham and B'Sila. I'd like to set up the system on Erev Shabbos whereby the Melacha begins. And Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos of Yisrael, say it's permissible. So the one exception to the rule is over here by cooking food. All the other 38 malachas, it's okay. And by cooking food, you're not allowed to because we're afraid. Shema yichatzi b'gechol. When it comes to food, people are more excited than other things. We're afraid Shema yichatzi b'gecholim may come to violate mechab olam. And then hachazara means that despite the fact that there is a rule that ain't bishalach habishul. Minatora, but the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to take out fully cooked food from the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos. That's an Isur of Hachazorah. Hachazorah we'll have to discuss. I mentioned that it's a Machlekes HaRishonim, whether Hachazorah, the Mishnah Berurah says it's Machlekes HaRishonim, Machlekes HaPoskim, whether Hachazorah is also because of its Midirabbanon, Yesh Bishal HaHabishal, it's an Isur Bishal Midirabbanon, that's what they call Mechzik HaMevashim. That's the meaning, it's Midirabbanon. It's Bishal Midirabbanon. Or should you say no, that it's not at all bishul? Ein bishul acha bishul manatar, ein bishul acha bishul madirabbanan. The reason why they asked it is the same reason that they asked the shehiyah. It's like zeir shemi yichad b'zuchom. And that's the accepted opinion. That's what the Ramo says, halacha l'maisa. We'll have to see, that has to do with the Tosfos Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, mahu lat lismach. Tosfos presents it one way, that's how the Ramo paskens halacha like Tosfos. And the other Rishonim, the Rif and the Rambam and the Ran, present it differently. So that's we'll get to that machlokes. Okay. So let's see over here. Now the prohibition of shehiyah that you're not allowed to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and Vod Yom, that it should begin cooking on Friday and cook into Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes different opinions of Tanoim and Amoroim. There are different opinions in Tanoim and Amoroim. When does that prohibition apply? Is there a case where it's permissible to leave the food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and you're not afraid Shema Yichatzi B'Gechol? So Hananya is a Tana. So Hananya is of the opinion the Gemara calls the Tanya. Hananya, I'm a Koshu Kamachal Ben Dursoi, Muta Lushahosa Agabikir. What is Michael Ben Dursoi? So we discussed yesterday. Michael Ben Dursoi means it's cooked either Shlish Bishulo. That this gangster Ben Durusoi would be prepared to eat it. Whoever enjoys eating steak that it's rare done, they would eat it. Means that it's a little bit. That's the sheer bishul in Hilchos Shabbos. Also, that's the sheer bishul in Kol HaTerukula. If I take meat and I cook it on Shabbos, so it cooks, let's say, for a half an hour, and it's still absolutely raw, so then I may be in violation of bishul on the water. There's water in the pot. But I'm not in violation of Bishul. Let's say the water was hot from Erev Shabbos. The water was hot, burning hot from Erev Shabbos, sitting on the fire. So I didn't do any violation of Bishul on the water. I take a piece of raw meat and I throw it into this burning hot water on Shabbos. And it's cooking away there for half an hour. It didn't even begin to get cooked. So that's not, you're not allowed to do that, to put raw meat in on Shabbos and then take it out within a half an hour. But the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to do it. But I'll tell you, you didn't do any Bishul yet. It's only a violation of Bishul once it's at least reaches the point of Nizbashel Kamaycha Ben Rusoi. That's the Sheh Bishul we spoke yesterday about Bishulakum. If a Nochri cooks some food and it becomes cooked at least Kamaycha Ben Rusoi, then it's then it's considered bishul. The same shear bishul is when it gets a dam. Now there is a din that one is not permitted to a pasuk in chumash called dam lo sechelu, unless a person if a person salts the meat and all the dam comes out, then he's permitted to rinse off the meat. After you salt it, then you're permitted to eat the meat. What do you mean when you salt the meat, all of the dam comes out, most of the dam remains behind? The answer is whatever dam remains behind, the label is mo'al habosa. That's the juice. So how long do you have to salt the meat that whatever dam will remain behind, we will declare is no longer labeled as dam? So the Shulchan Aruch gives you a shear. How long? Kishir mil. Where'd they get the shear mil? So the shear mil, I think the Baal Halachas Gedolah says that. The shear mil based on the Gemara, that's the shear for tzliya. Sorry. He figured out that's the shear for tzliya. Let's say you take a piece of meat which was not salted. I'll take either liver, where salting doesn't even help. We assume salting doesn't help. Or I'll take raw meat, where salting would help. I'll take, let's say, steaks, and they were never salted in advance to remove the dam. And then I'll broil the steaks and broil the liver on the fire. So we assume that broiling, if you broil it, broil it till it's royal achila, de'atzak, till it's kamechal ben derisoy. So that's considered bishul and hilchas Shabbos, that's considered bishul and bishul akum. So once it's considered mevushal, so I have the right to assume that all of the dam that came out, that's labeled as dam. That happens to be dam shebishloi. So dam shebishloi is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether it's an isa derais and isa derabonan. The Ramah happens to pass on dam shebishloi as long as derabonan, because dam shebishloi is not royal as rik al gabi hamizbech. And the Chumash it says you're not permitted to eat dam, ki yosan esat lechem al hamizbech lechaper. Oh, thank you very much. Does that have any schnapps in it? No, okay. Thank you. I thought you wanted a better shiur. So we have in the Ramah, happens to pass on the dam shebishul is an isa derabbanan. Okay, so the dam that came out, al yidei the tzliya, will only be an isa derabbanan, because the pasuk says the dam is forbidden. Because dam shebishul is not royal as rikal gam izbech, so that's why it's there's no isa koris. It's only dam shebishul is only an isa derabban. So after broiling the steak, whatever dam will remain behind will also be dam shebishul. Everything is going to be dam shebishul. Whatever dam remains behind is even mutam in the rabbanon. Why? I label that as moel habasa. But how long do you have to broil the steak to have the right to declare that whatever is left behind is moel habasa? You have to broil the steak, or you have to broil the liver till the state of kemachal ben dusoy. That's the shir bishul and kol haterkul. So what is Hananya's opinion over here? He says that when is there an isa derabbanan of shehiya that you're not allowed to leave food on the fire on erev Shabbos and let it get cooked into Shabbos? That's only if the food is mamish raw. But if the food is already cooked so much before Shabbos comes in that it's roi l'achila k'maychol ben derusoi, so then you're not concerned. Gzeira shem yichate v'gecholim does not apply. The guy's not going to be so concerned about it. Sof kol sof, bottom line, it is roi l'achila. Yeah, some people would eat it the way it is, even if I don't enjoy. Listen, I'm the people I like dafke well done. I don't enjoy rare steaks, but still, my rare steak is nechal adia tchak. I won't get so carried away with myself to be so concerned. The flesh is not going to be ready for Friday night. I may get carried away and turn it over, be mechate v'gecholim, and violate mechabim av. So Hananya holds, once it's a gil mechal ben derusoi, you're permitted to leave the food on the fire on erev Shabbos, and there's no need for a blech. You don't need a gruf or ktuma. When do you need a blech? When do you need gruf or ktuma? That it's lehi gil mechal ben derusoi. Mamash raw. It's raw, but so slightly cooked, it's not even a gil mechal ben derusoi, and the whole cooking is going to take place on Shabbos, then you have a blech. The Chachamim disagree with Hananya, and they hold that even after the point of Higil Amachal Ben Derusoi, what are the names of the Chachamim who disagree with Hananya? The first, the Gemara doesn't mention any name. Tosfos on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Tiva Maskel E Amrit Bishleimo, the longer Tosfos, Tosfos gives you the names, Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, the last 10 lines. 10 lines from the end. Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Asher, B'Sheinu, Gruf, Hafidu, Mimitamik, V'Raloch. The way Tosfos reads the Gemara, the way Pashat Pshat, there's a complicated Balamor here that we're not going to go into. But the way you learn normally Pashat Pshat, there are various stages. There are 4 stages in cooking food. First it's raw, then you cook it till the point of Higila Machal Ben Derusoi. Then after that it's Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi, it's fully cooked, there's nothing, no part of it is raw, but still if it'll continue to cook a little longer, it'll even taste more geschmack. That's called Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi Umitztamik V'Yofaloi. If you let it cook a little longer, it'll even taste better. Then it reaches a further stage in cooking that's called Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi Umitztamik V'Raloi. If you keep on letting it, if you let it continue to cook a little longer, it's not going to taste any better. It's just going to shrivel up, and you're going to have less to eat, or the water. Let's say the water is fully cooked, you just let it cook longer, it's going to evaporate. You let it keep up cooking, the water will evaporate, you have less water to drink. So these are the 4 madrigas. So Hananiah is Ali's opinion that the only time there's an Issa Shehiyah Midirabbanon is if it didn't even reach the first stage of the Gila Machal Ben Derusoi. Once you give the machal, so then you need a blech. Then there's an isa shia. Then you need a blech in order to be matirit. And the blech is matir. The gruf of tumah is the blech. We'll have to get to that later. So the gruf of tumah helps even though the food is mamish getting cooked. I put on absolutely raw food on Erev Shabbos on the fire, and the blech and it's going to cook into Shabbos. The chachamim who disagree with Hananya. First, the Gemara doesn't mention who they are. Rabbanah. The Taisa tells you the secret. It's Rav Meir Rav Yehuda. How does Tyson know the Rosh HaKodesh Amir Rav Yehuda? No Rosh HaKodesh. It says on Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Kiyas. So this was the daf ahead of us. So on Lamed Chesem and Aleph, it says Rav Meir Rav Yehuda. So these two Tanoim disagree with Hananya all the way. What do you mean all the way? They say it's not permissible to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, even if, without a blech, even if it's Mavushal called Tzarkam Mitzamik Veralo. There's mamish no reason in the world that he should want to be Mechata B'Gecholah. What does he want to poke around in the coals? What, he wants it to cook faster? No, it's already holding my stomach for alo. If it's going to cook some more, it's going to evaporate. They made a loyplug rabban. They say it's never permissible to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, even if it's mevushal kol tzarkoi mistamik v'ralo, even though the reason for the gzeira shem yichata doesn't apply in this case. And one could have argued the point. The reason doesn't apply, the gzeira doesn't apply. So they say it's a loyplug rabban. Even in the case where the reason doesn't apply, the gzeira still applies. So Tosfos says, in the Tkufas HaTanoim, the only shitas that are recorded are Hananya, he's the big makel, that after Higila Machal Ben Derusoi, there's no prohibition at all of Shehiyah. And Gruf HaKtumah helps even if you're going to put on absolutely raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Gruf HaKtumah is matirit. And Rav Meir HaChachamim, or the Chachamim, the Rabbanon who disagree with Hananya, they say that it's never mutter to leave, even Mavusha Kol Tzarka Mitzamik V'Ralo. You're not allowed to leave the food on top of the fire without a blech. The question is, according to the Chacham, there's a machlokes, how do you paskin? Should you paskin like Hananya, or should you paskin like a Chachamim? The top Tosfos says, Mishum Dekayim Alon Kehananya, Dochik Lukmim Masnis and Kavosik. The Gemara points out that the simple reading in the Mishnah does not appear that it's like Hananya. So Tosfos wants to know, why does the Gemara kvetching Afilu Teima Hananya? The Gemara says, you can even kvetch that the Mishnah goes like Hananya. Why do you want to kvetch? Why don't you just read Pashup Shah? So Tosfos says, Mishum Nikaim Alon Kehananya, because the Gemara knows they're geared towards the Maskana. The Gemara knows the Maskana, La Halacha, Kamo Shafarish Be'ezus Hashem. Tosfos is going to prove that the Halacha is like Hananya. So therefore, the Gemara is matrik a little bit to push it into the Mishnah. You didn't have to push it. You can say the Mishnah goes against Hananya, and we pass like Hananya. So it won't be the first time in Shas that you're passing against the Stam Mishnah. But the Gemara wants to push in that direction. That's why Dochik Luyuk Mimasnis and Kabbalah. The Gemara wants to say, it's not so clear cut that the Mishnah against Hananya, because we want to pass like Hananya. It could be the Mishnah doesn't even contradict. Okay. So that's the question. That's what Tosfos says in the top Tosfos, that we pass like Hananya. Other Rishonim say otherwise. Other Rishonim say we pass like the Chachamim, the Hananya. In the Mechaber, the two opinions are quoted. Whether you do paskin like Hananya, you don't paskin like Hananya. So again, so if the din would be like Hananya, then it's clear that if you leave a blech, you can even put raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Because if the food is already higil amachal ben yusad, you don't need a blech. You don't need a blech. So when do you need a blech? It means if it's raw food, it's not 9 lines bashik amachal ben yusad. And raw food, if you put a blech, is matir. The shaila is, if one should paskin against Hananya, And there are many Rishonim who pass against Hanani, and the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should be choshish lachma like that. The Mishnah Berurah recommends you should be choshish lachma for those who pass like the Chachamim. That it's also to leave food on the fire, even if it's so when does a blech help? So the Rashba makes a suggestion. The Chiddush Rashban is that maybe the blech is only matir to leave food on the fire. The opposite for Ananya. It's already Higil Amachal Ben Derisoi. So then if you leave a blech, then it'll be Mata. But to put on raw food, mamish, on the fire with a blech, maybe the blech doesn't even help in such a case. That's a suggestion that was raised by the Rashba. So Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaba quotes the two opinions, whether you pass Malach Ananya. You don't pass Malach Ananya. So that's the Nafkamina Lalocha, whether you need a blech, if it's already Higil Amachal Ben Derisoi. So we'll be Machmer. So what's the big deal? So put a blech all the time. So maybe that's not enough to be machmer. Maybe you have to be machmer like the Chachamim, the Hananya, that you need a blech even if it's a gil machmer ben dusoy. And maybe it means another chumrah, that a blech doesn't even help if it's lo gil machmer ben dusoy, if the food is raw mamish. Maybe the blech only helps, because the whole idea of the blech is that it should remind you, to make it a little difficult, either as a hecker to remind you there's something different, or to make it a little more difficult to go tamper with the fire. So until you're going to start the temple, you'll remind yourself that it's Shabbos, that you're not allowed to. So it could be that this hecker only helps a bit zero. The hecker of Gufa Ketom only helps a bit zero the fact that the food is ready cooked, Kamachal Ben Nisoy anyway. Hananya hopes that that's enough to solve the whole problem. The Chacham says it's not enough. So if you have a blech plus that, blech plus Higel Kamachal Ben Nisoy, then the Chacham is Ma'amekel. But to put a blech on absolutely raw food, maybe the Chacham will hold totally against the Hananya. So Rabbi Kivega quotes this in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, this Tzad Lahachmer, it's a possibility, it's not Mefurish, it's a possibility raised by the Rashba that according to the Chachamim and the Hananya, you shouldn't be allowed to leave raw food on the fire even with a blech on Erev Shabbos. That you have to cook the food on Erev Shabbos at least till the point of Higil and Michael Ben Derusoy. So now, is there ever a stage according to the Chachamim and the Hananya, who are they? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir. Is there ever a point at which they would say that you're permitted to leave the food on the fire without a blech? So they hold this never mutter. That's what Tosis points out. Reb Meir v'Reb Yudah, the Rabbanan, the Hanan, you hold that there's never a heter, even Mavushal called Tzarka, Mitzamik v'Ralo, there's no heter to leave the food on the fire without a blech. How do Tosis know what they hold? Because the Gemara has a Machlekes Reb Meir v'Reb Yudah on the next daf, Lamed Chesem and Aleph, that's what Tosis got the names of Meir v'Reb Yudah. Where were then? How did they figure out who the Tanoim are? The Rabbanan and Rabbi Rabbi Yudit says on Lamed Chesem and Aleph. So there on Lamed Chesem and Aleph, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta Teragimel. Is that 15 lines on the top? There's a Machlekes Rabbi Rabbi Yudit. What's the din b'diyevet? There is a din Hamavashel b'Shabbes b'Shoygig b'Mezid. There's a penalty with the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat the food if you cooked it b'Shoygig or b'Mezid. Different cases. Whether it comes to Shogot to Mezid, there's a penalty and not allowed to eat it. So here there's a Machlekes Rabbi Rabbi Yudit. What if you violated the din of Shehiyah? You didn't violate the Yisad Deraisa Bishal on Shabbos. Not that you put food on the fire on Shabbos. That's the original topic. Rameh Rabbi Yudah Mavashal B'Shabbos. What's the din over here? If the person left Shochach Keder Al Gabikira Bishal B'Shabbos, he left a pot on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos, he forgot and he violated B'Shogeg, he violated the din of Shehiyah. When do you make a penalty with the Rabbanan? So there is a Machlekes. We mentioned the other day, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say the lights are out on Shabbos, and the Nachri comes in and he turns on another chandelier, and it's even brighter than it was before. But you could have seen very well without the chandelier that the Nachri turned on. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's not considered Nenim of Lecha Shabbos. Nenim Lecha Shabbos is if the room was dark, and now the Nachri turns on the lights. But if he could have gotten on, the Rabbi Natam said, even a bigger Chiddush, we don't hold like the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam said, even if the Nachri drew the water from the well and he carried it up from the well as a Rishus Hayachat through the Rishus Harabim into the house, whatever, so he says a person is allowed to drink the water because I could have climbed down into the well and I could have had the water over there. The only time it's called Nenim Olecha Shabbos is a behemah, because behemah can't climb down, so to feed it to the behemah, that's called Nenim Olecha Shabbos. But as far as the person is concerned, that's not called Nenim Olecha Shabbos. That's the same as the case where the lights were on anyway, and the Nachri turned on another chandelier that he adds more brightness, but you could have gotten on all before. So the Mishnah Berurah said that Rov HaRishonim agree with the Ri and disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam. You're not talking about drinking the water down the well. You're talking about drinking the water up in the house. It's a difference. It's much more comfortable. It's easier. So the fact that the Nochri did the Melacha saves me the whole job of climbing down into the well to drink it. That's also called Nanam Melacha Shabbos. The fact that I'm drinking the water in the house. So here there's Machleg Zamer, Rabbi B'diyevet, Lichatchila, it's also to be Masha. The prohibition of Shihi applies even if it's food is Mavushal called Tzarka and Mitzamik Veralo. It's still forbidden to leave the food on the fire without a blech. In all cases. But Amir, if you to argue, what if someone violated Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos? B'Shegeg Zolzayin? So, when is it considered Nenim Amalach HaShabbos? So, one of the Tanoim says, Machlek Zamer Abiyud. One of them says, if it's Mavusho called Tzark already, anyway, then it's Mitzamik Veralo. Mitzamik Veralo. And the water is evaporating, and it tasted better. Or let's say the flesh keeps on shrinking, is having a smaller piece of meat because it keeps on cooking longer. If he would have not put it back on the fire, he would have had a bigger piece of meat, would have had more tea to drink. Now half of the cup of tea evaporated, he has less to drink. So the Hatz said, one time it says, that's not called Nenim Melech HaShabbos, Mitzamek Veralo. He was better off if he wouldn't have done the Shehiyah Mevod Yom. The other time it says, even Mitzamek Veofalo, also you can consider that Nenim Melech HaShabbos. That's like, the lights were on anyway, and the Nochri came and he lit an additional chandelier that's even more brighter than it was before. But it was bright enough without that. The same over here. The food is Mavushal called Tzarkai. Without having Mevad Yom. The food was Mavushal called Tzarkai Mevad Yom. The only thing is, because he violated Shehiyah, B'Shegeg, Memezid, whatever, so the food even became slightly tastier. Now it's even Mitztamik V'yachala. Now it's even more Geshmak. The potatoes are falling apart. And the schmaltz get into the potatoes and everything is even more delicious, more fattening and much more delicious, right? So in such a case, but it was tasty before, it was very geschmack before. So that's what one time it says, Machlech Zameir Rebutus. So Meir says, if it's Mavusha Kol Tzarkai, so then there's no penalty of Nenim and Melech HaShabbos. It already was Mavusha Kol Tzarkai. The fact that it's now Madrega, it's a notch higher, then it's Mistamik V'yofel, it tastes even a little better. That's the Moshe L'Madavid to the lights. The lights are on anyway, and the Nochri turns on the chandelier. So that's not called Nenim Melech HaShabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only if it's Tamik Veralo, then it's not called Nenim Melech HaShabbos. But if it's called Mustamik Veofalo, then it is called Nenim Melech HaShabbos. How does that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, usually Rameh Rabbi Yehuda Lochik Rabbi Yehuda, if you pass my Rabbi Yehuda, how does it correspond to the din with the lights on? If the lights were on anyway, and the Goy turns on another light, you say it's not called Nenim Melech HaShabbos. I bet it's a little bit brighter. Why is it different over here? I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. I don't know. So Taisus says, these two Tanaim, Rameh Rav Yehuda, are disagreeing vis-a-vis the Knas B'Di'evet. Hamavashel B'Shabbos B'Shegeg B'Mezim, we make a penalty. So how far does that go? When do you make the penalty? When do you not make the penalty? So he was talking B'Shegeg, he violated. The penalty even applies to one who violated Shehiyah. But to what extent do you make the penalty? So they argue, is it even to the extent of Mitztamik V'Yofalo? Or only up until the extent of Mavushal Kol Tzarkai. Once in Mavushal Kol Tzarkai, you don't make any more penalty. But you see that they both agree that there's an issur to do Shehiyah, even Mitztamik Veralo. They just argue about the B'di'evet, that B'di'evet, also Lehonis Mavalecha Shabbos, how far he goes. That's what Taisus points out. So Taisus says, in Tanoim, you only have recorded two shitas. Chananya is Mekel, you're allowed to do Shehiyah without a blech. Once the food reached the point of Michael Ben Nusay on Erev Shabbos, then you don't need a blech. And Rav Meir Rav Yehuda said there's no limit. It's always forbidden to do Shia, you always need a blech. In Amoraim, Taisus says, in Amoraim, you have Amoraim who made compromises in between, and their opinions don't correspond to Ashkechan Shumtan of the Sava Hochi. Taisus, we don't find, maybe if we'll research, maybe we'll find the Cairo Geniza, maybe we'll discover some Tosefta's or something. But Taisa says, in the Daf, you don't find in the Daf Gemara any Tana who says like that. These Amoraim invented their own Shitas. Taisa says, you have Rabbi Yechanan, and you have Rabbi Yehuda, the Amoira, and Machlekes Amoraim. That what? One Amoira is of the opinion that once you reach the point of Mavushu called Tzarkai, even though it's Mistamik V'Ofalo, there's no... What are the opinions again? Here I know my base. Rav Nachman says, here, 6-7 lines from the bottom of Lamed Zayin and base. Nachman says, Mitztamik V'Yofalo, Osa Mitztamik V'Ralo Mutar. Mitztamik V'Ralo is Mutar to do Shia, you don't need a blech. Mitztamik V'Yofalo is Osa. And what did Rav Yechanan say? Rabbi Yochanan says earlier by the letter Aleph, right smack in the middle of Amud Beis, Lamed Zayin, right in the middle of Amud Beis, by the tiny letter Aleph, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, "Kirush Esiku begeves yet Mashal Atav Shbishu Kol Tzark Kol Tzark." I feel the same way. I mean, you don't need a blech if it's Mavushu Kol Tzark. You don't need a blech. And Rav Nachman on the bottom, and Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel disagree. Right after they quote that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, so the next line, the Gemara says, "Wait a minute." Amaleh Humi Rabbanan, the Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, Rav Shmuel by Yehuda said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you don't need a blech once the food reached the point of Mavushu Kol Tzark on Erev Shabbos. That you can put it on the blech, on the, you can put it on the fire and have Shabbos without a blech. So one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva raised an objection to Rabbi Shmuel by Yud. How can you say that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Shmuel disagreed. They said mitzamik v'yafala osur, only mitzamik v'ra'ala mutar. Rabbi Shmuel said the same as Rabbi Nachman on the bottom of the daf. So he said, that's right. That's what Rabbi Shmuel, that's what Rabbi Nachman says, and I'm saying over Rabbi Yochanan. So that's what he says. I know that Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. He says, "Ki kamin alach Rabbi Yochanan kamin." I'm saying over Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So Tosfos points out, and Tosfos on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the last few lines, that these Amoraim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nachman, who say that once you reach the point of mitzamik v'ralo, it's mutter to do shiur even without a blech. And Rabbi Yochanan is more makel than that. That once you reach the point of mavushu kol tzarkei, even though it's mistamik v'yofalo, you don't need a blech. This is the loikeman le'ashkachem shum tana desavahol. You don't find any tanaim. Hananya is the biggest makel. He's makel even if it's only mavushu kamechel ben nevisoi. And the Chachamim de Hananya are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yudah on the next daf. They only talk about the knas b'diyevet. How far do you go to make a knas b'diyevet? But chachida they hold it also to do shiur, even if it's mistamik v'ralo. So Tosfos says that you have the four shittas, two atanoim, and the two middle amaroim don't have any tana who says like that. They're entitled to an opinion. The amaroim are entitled to disagree with the tanoim, even though there's not tana who supports them. That's what Tosfos says in effect.
Isn't there an idea that if it's completely raw, it's a sealed item, and even without
cutting, you can't get the Gemara has correct. That the Gemara has in the first parak. Gemara says kidei rachaisa. Gemara has if you have absolutely raw meat that's going to take so long to cook that for tonight for sure it's not going to be ready to eat, even if he's going to do mechata b'gehol. And for tomorrow morning's meal it will be ready to eat even if he won't do mechata b'gehol. So since it's neither here nor there for tonight, tonight it's not going to help to do mechata b'gehol. For tomorrow morning it's not necessary. In such a case, the Gemara says there's no need to have a grufa ksum. That everybody agrees to that. Yeah, that's in the first parish. That if you have a kedei rechaisa, the Gemara says kedei rechaisa means a pot with raw meat in it. So the Gemara says even if most of it is not raw meat, there's one piece of raw meat. The rest is potatoes, carrots, other things that will be raw lachila for tonight. Since on that one piece of the raw piece of meat, it's going to take so long to cook, and it won't be ready for tonight, even if you will be mechata b'gehol. So he's mesiach das in the whole pot, right? That's everybody agrees to. That's the question whether that applies to zman hazeh. So some poskim hold that it doesn't make sense to zman hazeh, because where do we have such a thing? Let's say on our stove, whatever food you leave on before lichtenshel is around 20 minutes before the shkia. Most of the women lichtenshel half an hour, 20 minutes before the shkia. And then the husband goes to shul and they finish davening around half an hour after the shkia. Longer, 45 minutes after the shkia, till he comes home takes another 10 minutes, till he sings Shalom Aleichem, till he sings Deishas Chal takes forever, till he washes, till he benches all the children, till they serve the soup, till they serve the gefilte fish, till they serve the vegetable salad. So then it's time to eat the flesh that's ready 2 hours later. So what kind of flesh could it possibly be that takes longer than 2 hours to cook on a fire? If you have a tiny little fire, it'll take a long time, but if it'll be mechata b'gehol, make the fire higher, it'll cook faster. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik tainted and Altenkin tainted. That they thought that on our stoves b'zman hazeh we don't have any hetzer, we don't have anything parallel to gedera chayis. They thought that it doesn't apply to b'zman hazeh. But on the books there is such a dip. There is halach. If it's gedera chayis, it's a new, case. Gedera chayis. All the tanaim agree that the gzera doesn't apply. So this is regarding the Easter of Shehiyah. So you have the two opinions among the tanaim. Hanani is very makel Rami Rabbi Yehuda, very machmer, never any had to leave food on without a blach unless except for Gdei Rechaisa, except for that case. And then you have the two Amoraim who give you the middle sheetas. Rabbi Yechanan is makel a little less than Hananya, not Gila Machum in the side, Mabush is called Tzarka. And then Rav Shmuel and Rav Nachman are makel a little bit. If it's metamik viralo, then you're allowed to leave it on the fire without a blech. Nidbod yom. So now the Gemara wants to know. The Gemara knows that there are machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara knows that the machlokes Hananya and Chacham. They want to know the Stam Mishnah. Is the Stam Mishnah assuming like Hananya, or is the Stam Mishnah assuming like the Chacham? What's the difference? Usually we pass on halachic Stam Mishnah. So that's a shaila. What does the Stam Mishnah say? Does it say like Hananya, therefore you should be passing like that? Or no, you have to pass on like the Rabban. So that's the shaila. Iboy lehu, how do you read the first line in the Mishnah? Well, the first line says a different story. First line says if you're using kasha gvava, it depends what kind of material you're using. If you use as fuel such a thing like kasha gvava that you can poke from today till next year, nothing's going to get better. It's not going to be, you can't make the flame higher. If you're cooking with coals, or let's say you have a burner on a modern stove, so you can make the fire higher, you can make the fire lower. So of course there's a concern, shemichata b'gecholim. So that's parallel to the case of gefes v'yetzim, that you have coals, or that you have twigs, that you have logs or branches that you're using for fuel that you're burning. So if you'll poke around, you can make the fire higher, you can make the fire lower. There's what to be mechate b'gechon. But in kasha gvava, it's shvacha stuff. There's nothing to poke around. It's going to be the exact same flame. Whether you're going to be mechate or not going to be mechate. So if it's kasha gvava, then no simulat tapshel, there's no problem. But if you're using as fuel gefes v'yetzim, that there's what to be mechate about, then you have a din lo yiten. Either lo yiten means you're not allowed to do shia, or lo yiten means that you're not allowed to do hachazara. That's what the Gemara is not sure. What does it mean lo yiten? See, some of the recent thoughts in Taina, that when you have a gas stove, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim is a gzeret, the fuel that's burning there, it may poke around that it should burn better, or it's too high, the fire is too high, it may make it lower. But by us, if you're going to regulate the knob, you're going to be bringing in new fuel. Is there a chashash? Let's say I have an oven and the fuel is inside the oven and it's locked and there's no way to get, and there's a fence around it, there's no way to be mechata b'gechol. There's nothing to be mechata about. You just can't get in there. So it could be that should have the dinas kasha gvav, that if there's nothing to be mechata about. So that's what some argue, that by us, if you have a constant flow of gas, what shach lechata b'gecholim? The concern would be he may introduce more fuel. He may turn the knob in such a way that more gas will come through. But that's not what they were concerned about over here. They never made a gzera that you're not allowed to do shia. Gzera shem yovi od. Maybe he'll take more logs and throw more logs into the fire. That you don't have. They're just concerned the fuel that's burning there in the furnace, the logs that are there, he may poke around and violate Mechabimav, but they're never concerned he may bring more logs. So that's what some of the recent poskim have a taina, that there's no concern over here that he may make the fire higher or lower. Make the fire higher means that he's introducing additional fuel. Mantchashme, the Tanoim never spoke about that. There was no parallel to this in the day. There is a parallel, there is. But they were never concerned about that he may forget and he may bring logs in and to throw additional logs into the furnace. Or he may decide that the fire is too high and the food is burning, so he may take out logs. That you don't have in the Mishnah either. He may poke around in the coals. He may push around the coals, so it shouldn't burn so much. But over here, if you're going to turn the knob, what does it mean? You're adding fuel or you're taking away fuel. So some argue the point that this was never included in the Gzeres HaTanoim. So that opinion sort of was not accepted by the Ashkenazim. That opinion was not accepted. We assume that turning the knob, higher or lower, is the same chashash as Shem Yechata. To go take a log out and take it on the side, or take an additional log and to throw it in, that's a major job. But to turn the knob higher or lower is the same as poking around in the coal. So that's what the generally accepted opinion is. that the contemporary stoves fall under the category of the Gefes of Yates.
Was that the swear that Rav Moshe held that you didn't have to cover the actual knobs because, and then just
no.
According to that, why don't we have to cover the knobs?
That's a new shayla. When the Mishnah says you have to have grufa oktuma achiyigrov achiyiten esayfer, so what does it mean yiten esayfer? He throws ashes. Efer is ashes. He throws ashes on top of the coals. Achiyigrov means that he pushes all the coals to the back. He has the pot with the food in the front. Normally he has the pot on top of the coals when it's cooking. And now he pushes all the coals to the back and he leaves the pot over here. So if you do a shino, if you have a heker in the fire, so then you're not geyser shemi yichat to be gehon. So that's where Moshe raises an issue. Where does the heker have to be? So he thinks the heker has to be in the fire itself. Eitan ha-sefer means you have ashes on top of the coals. A yigraf means to push the coals all the way to the back. The coals are not in the normal place, namely directly below the pot. But if you're going to put a heker by the knobs and the burners on top are regular, the same as the weekdays. Even though the heker on the knobs, let's say you're going to put plastic tape, you're going to put scotch tape on top of the knobs and put a plastic cover on top of them. That will make it much more difficult to be mechatzer the gecholim. That will make it difficult. So Moshe says the idea of yik grif oktum is not to make it difficult to be mechatzer. The Tanoi made a takana, you have to have a heker, and they said the heker has to be in the yesh, not that the heker should be in the knobs. They had never had such a thing, no. Heker in the knobs. So he claims that the only heter is if the heker is in the yesh itself. He says, look, hatchila, the blech should cover not only the flame, should cover the knobs as well. But if you can't have both, so which one is the more important one, the Dina Mishnah, he claims the heker in the yesh is the ikar. And others disagree. They say, no, if you have the heker in the knobs, is that better? Why do you have to insist, Davke, that the heker has to be in the yesh?
Well, shouldn't be that you would be treating the knobs as like a fishing lock of Issa. Because if you're going to say that it's not like Tosh, that it's going to be like Gefet, then you're going to have to make the equation all the way and say that we're not treating this as adding fuel, we're going to treat this as like a stoker or something like that. And then mm-hmm. It should be a fishing lock of Issa. And then you're not going to touch it anyway, so you shouldn't even need a.
I think it certainly is a klisha malach taliyusa. The thing that you stoke the coals with is probably also klisha malach taliyusa. Because when you stoke the coals, it's going to be mechabo mavir. But we're afraid the guy is going to forget. He's going to be so nervous about his meal, he's going to forget Shabbos, malacha, so he's going to poke around. So violate mechabo mavir. So certainly violate klisha malach taliyusa.
It seems like an exact parallel, though, because here
Right, so that's why there are those who disagree. That's why there are some poskim will say that the modern day oven is no hashvot to what it says by Gefes ve'etzim. It's to be compared to Kasha Gvava. Kasha Gvava, you can drei all you want, and it's not going to get to higher or lower. Whatever it is, that's what it is. If you're going to be mechatzer gechol, nothing is going to change. So over here, if you take something and poke around in the fire, nothing is going to change. The only thing that's going to change is you're going to fool around with the knob. So they say, so the knob is an andamaisa, you're bringing new fuel, you're taking away fuel. So that's the tanoim whenever it goes around. It only goes on whatever fuel is there, you may poke around and you'll violate mechabo mavi. So there were those who say that the modern stove is the same as kasha gvova, that it is never included in the gzeirah rabban. And that's not the generally accepted opinion. Yeah.
If you cover the knobs, shouldn't that turn the stove into a kosher gvava because you can't control it?
So good to tina? I don't know. Moshe thinks not. He thinks that since the nature of the stove is such, that it's like Gefes v'Yetzim because you can't regulate it. So you need a heker. The heker has to be in the yetzim.
Okay. But let's say you would have the heker and you cover the knobs. I'm saying even if you take the chumrah of Tosfos, that there are Rabbi Kivager's Kumar that you mentioned before, would you then be able to give the heter in that case if you cover the knobs, even for the Rabbi
Kivager's
Kumar?
Rabbi Kivager
said that we can't rely on
Shabia to put raw food in the
bodyom
with the blair.
But if you cover the knobs, even his motor is in the Kashi as well, you'll be motor, right? Even Rabbi Kivager would be.
Everything is motor, yeah.
So maybe if you cover the knobs and.
I don't know. That's where Moshe Feinstein thinks that it's not enough. He thinks that covering the knobs doesn't help at all. I mean, what would the others though? Those who disagree with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that they hold covering the knobs is the equivalent of Grufa Ketumah? Do they hold it's even better than that? It makes it even, that's what you want to know. Oh, that's a good question. Once you assume not like Rav Moshe, if you assume that covering the knobs does help, so does covering the knobs equal Grufa Ketumah? So then you would still have the Chumra of the Rashba, Rabbi Kivega's quotation from the Rashba. Maybe you should say, once you cover the knobs, Mama's like Kasha Gavava. There's nothing to poke around. Maybe it should be Hefe Gom. Could be. I don't know. So this is the Gemara Shaila. Boy Elohu, the third line, the second, third line in the Mishnah. Lo Yitain. Lo Yitain at Sheikov. Sheikov says, you need Grufa Ketumah, you need a blech. What does it mean, Lo Yitain? Hi, Lo Yitain doesn't mean Lo Yachsir. Avalishas Mashin means the Mishnah follows Hananya Shita. It's talking about a Stam Kedair. A Stam Kedair probably is already Higila Machal Ben Derisoy. Aval Pishen Gora Venikov Man Hananya, Tan Hananya, Makoshka Machal Ben Samut, the Shosa Gabi Kira Pishen Gora Venikatsum. Does the Mishnah go like Hananya? That's what Tap Taisa says on Lamadan. That's what we're pushing for. Because the Maskon is going to be like Hananya. So the Gemara is pushing that we should have a Stam Mishnah that shouldn't contradict Hananya. Because we know Halachic is Stam Mishnah, so we would prefer that it should Shtim Halach Halamais. Or Duma, perhaps I should say, not true. The Mishnah goes, Lishos Tanan. Laite means you're not allowed to do she. Even though a Stam Kedera that you put on top of the fire is already Higila Machal Midr, sorry. And it's only Mutiv Yigorv Kotamani Loi Loi. And the Mishnah goes like the Chachamim Dehanan. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Midiktoni Trey, Bobby Masnis, and Bisham Yarmim Kamatapshal. Then it says, the sefer of the Mishnah, there's machlek, is there a heter to do hachzor? The Bishami hold there's never a heter to do hachzor, but still say there is a heter. So what was everything that we were discussing before? Bishami and Bishil were discussing details, chamed v'tapshel, chamed v'loy tapshel, the details of what? The Bishami hold you're never allowed to do hachzor at all, period. So the answer is, don't you see the fairs? They're two different topics. The first half of the Mishnah is talking about shehiyah. Taking half of the Mishnah is talking about Hachzor. The Mishnah is the Loka Hananya, which we're not happy about. The Mishnah is the Loka Hananya. That's what the Gemara says, Toshma, Meditani Trey Bavi, Bimasnis. And you have two different paragraphs in the Mishnah. The first, the Machleg, is Beisham Yisrael about the details of the Heter. And this, the last section in the Mishnah, the second Bav in the Mishnah, is the Machleg, is whether Hachzor is Mutter. So what are they finding about the details of what Heter? The details of the Heter with Rufa Ketumah within Shia. So Shma Mino. If you say the ratio and the Mishnah goes on Shia and the Sefer and the Mishnah goes on Achzora and the Mishnah is Beloka Hananya, so there we understand what's going on. To be Matri Shia, you have to have Grufa Ketumah. What exactly Machleg B'Sham V'Su? And then Kech the Pligi Belishes Pligi Nami LaHachzor B'Sham Yamim B'Sham B'Sham deny that there's a din of Achzor. So the Gemara says, if you read the Mishnah, that the first half of the Mishnah goes on Shia, then it reads well. Eli Yamrit, very long-winded piece of Gemara here. Okay. Eli Yamrit, Lahachzor Tanan. But if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah goes like Hananya, that if the pot is Kehigil Machal Ben Dursoi, and the Stam Kedair is Kehigil Machal Ben Dursoi, you're going to tell me the Mishnah goes only on Hachazore, Leitin, the second, third line in Mishnah. Leitin goes on Hachazore, but she is Mutter, Stam Mutter, you don't even need Rufa Ketumah. So what? So the Mishnah goes on Hachazore, and then all, and there's a Machlek, is Bishame Bisil, the details on Hachazore, and then all of a sudden the end it says Bishame deny that there's a Heter Hachazore at all. So how are they arguing about the details of Hachazore if they hold that it's Osir? Eli Amit Lahachzor Tanan. So how do you read the Mishnah? Oh, he's done it. Kibush, he's a good Bakasha, but go over Machzim Allah at Tapshul. Kibush, we ate in Leah, so she does it. My Machzim, Mashiach, we still have a Machloikis. And then you get to the last line, whether Machzim or not. So the Gemara says, what's going on? Asul Amali. It doesn't read straight. He just said, according to Beishamai, in the end you say, Beishamai hold, there's no Heter Hachzor at all. In the beginning you said that Beishamai and Bishol argue about the details of Hachzor. The Stam the whole Mishnah doesn't read straight. There is no alternative. So how can you possibly say that the ratio of the Mishnah goes on Hachazor? It's obvious the ratio of the Mishnah goes on Shia. And for the purpose of Shia, we don't paskal like Hananya, the Mishnah. The Stam Mishnah is against Hananya, which we're not happy about. So the simple reading of the Mishnah is the first half of Mishnah goes on Shia. And it's the Loka Hananya. So that's what the Tap Taisa says. The Gemara doesn't want to hold like that, because we know halacha lemaisa. If a dochi look masnis and gavas, they want to see to it that there shouldn't be a stam mishnah against the Hananya. So that's what the Gemara kvetches in the mishnah, the top line of lamed zayin and al. The yarnam emaloch, you can say lahachzit tanan. Okay, no, what do you mean lahachzit tanan? That she is mutter once it's a gil makomen, so it's stam mutter. You don't need a grufa of ktuba. When it says leitain, asheyigraf means if you want to do hachzar, you're not allowed to do hachzar unless you have grufa ktuba. I said, what did the Shammai Bisilu talking about? In the end, the Shammai denied the Zenei Heter Hachzor at all. In the beginning, the Shammai telling you the details of when Hachzor is mut, but they say it's always also. You have to add on a little bit. You have to add on a line. There's no Isam Hachzor, because there's nothing to be Mechat about. The gift is the Eitzim Lo Yachzor Shikim Shikim Seifel. Avalisha is, but the implication is Avalisha Mashnafish Enigor Venikotum. If it's a gil machal medirisoy, and the first machloek is bisham and bisil is in the case of shehiya. Umahin mashin, what are you permitted to do shehiya on? So that's a machloek is bisham and bisil. Bisham yam cham avloy tafsha, only soup and not kugel and not chicken. Bisil am cham in the tafsha. And then the Mishnah goes back to the topic of hachazar. Hachazar the amilach la di rehakalhi. What we said in the beginning, lo yite not shiger for shita nesayfer. You need grufa ktuma to be matir hachazare. You need grufa ktuma to be matir hachazare. That's only libid beisilu. And beisham hold that you never matir hachazare. Lav de rehakulim, and machlek beisham isil, so beisham yoshim isilu matir. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is open. You can read the Mishnah either like Hananya. We know what Hananya says, we know what the Chachamim say. We're not sure whether the Stam Mishnah is clearly against the Hananya, or we can dray into the Mishnah that it won't be against Hananya. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to see what did the Amoraim think? What did the early Amoraim think? Does the first part of the Mishnah imply the Loka Hananya and not necessarily? Toshma, Dom Rav Chel Bam Rav Chama Baguyo, my Rav. Lo Shanawela Al Gabo, the Heter in the Mishnah only applies if you're going to do it. We're not sure what Heter you're going to do. What? Are you going to do Shia? You're going to do Achzor? What is he talking about? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. The Rav is quoted as having said, Chelvu says in the name of Rav Chama Baguya, says in the name of Rav, this is already a grandson, told the same. Rav's student said it over, and Rav Chelvu said it over in the name of Rav's student. That what did he say already? That the Heter in the Mishnah only applies al Gabo Avalotecha Osa. You're not allowed to do it inside. You're not allowed to do what inside? So Rashi has a difficult pshat here. And Tosfos gives the Pasha pshat. The Yarmah Bishleimah, Tosfos gives the Pasha pshat. This distinction between Teicha and Al Gabo, the Gemara assumes only makes sense if you're talking about Hachazara. If I took something, if a pot of soup was on top of the fire, if the chicken, the cholent, whatever is on top of the fire, either inside the oven or on top of the burner on top, and then I took it off and I'm holding it, I'm holding it, and then the serving, the soup, and the taking out chicken. Now I'm holding it, I want to put it back on top of the fire. So if it's oid the yod of a daita lahachzir, that's going to come up on the next daf. If he's still holding it, then it's considered a hemshach from before, and then it's mutter. When is hachazara mutter? If it's considered a hemshach of the shia. But if I already hiniach agabi karka, or let's say odeh biyodoi vein daita lahachzir, so then putting it back on top of the fire is not a hemshach from before. He's already mapsik, he already was mesiach das. He's holding it in his hand, but he didn't plan to put it back. He's holding it to make it easier for the chef to serve the soup in the soup bowl. And he didn't plan to put it back on top of the fire. Then the chef says, hey, wait a minute, you better put it back on top of the fire. Not all the guests are ready to eat yet. So then the Gemara says, you're not allowed. So the only time it's mutter to put it back on top of the fire is if I view that hachazor as a hemshech of the original shia. So then the Gemara says, when do you consider a hemshech of the original shia if it's al gabo? But mitocho, I have the pot out over here now. Then I'm going to put it back inside the oven. The pot is nambaguba. I'm going to put it back inside the oven. It's going to be mechusa. But that's not considered a hemshach from before. No matter whether the pot was originally on top of the fire and I'm holding it now, I want to put it back inside the oven, or the pot came from inside the oven, I took it out, I want to put it back inside the oven, that's not called a hemshach from before. Once the pot is outside and you put it back inside, it was visible, noticeable. Then you put it back inside, it disappears from the eye. So that's not called the hemshach from before. So Rav Chelvu is quoting in the name of Rav a distinction between L'teicho and Al Gaba, that only makes sense if you're talking about Hachazara. That Lahachzir El Toko is not called a Hemshah from before, that's called an Asina Mechadosh. If you put back on top of the burner, on top of the fire, Al Gaba, so that's considered a Hemshah from before. So it's the Yod, the Zayt of Lahachzir. And it's Al Gaba, that's a Hemshah from before. But whenever you're going to put El Toko, that's not a Hemshah from before. So don't you see? And Rav Chelva he says, Lo Shanu Ela. The Mishnah only allows it under such condition. Well, the Mishnah only allows what? If the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, the words of Rav don't make any sense. Rav is clearly talking about Hachazar. So don't you see that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about Hachazar? Laite means Lo Yachzir. If you say the beginning in the Mishnah, so the word loyite means loyachzir, and the Dishani, that's why there's a difference between Bein Tocho and Al Gaba. The Sina El Tocho is called an Asina Mechadish, it's not a Hemshah from before. Eli Yarmit, Lishos Tanam. But if you're going to tell me that the ratio in the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah against Chananya, if you tell me the ratio is talking about Shehiyah, so it doesn't make any sense to distinguish between Tocho and Al Gaba. She is mutter al gaba. She is mutter b'toicho also. Why should it make a difference? Eli yamrit lishas tanan mali toicho mali al gaba. Why does it make a difference? So you see, b'feirish the Rav Chelva Amar Rav Chelva Bar Gumi Rav's comments is being made with respect to hachazara, and he's saying lo shanu ela. He's commenting on the Mishnah. Lo shanu ela. Mishnah only goes in such case. So you see that he read the Mishnah that is talking about hachazara. So the Gemara says, of course the Mishnah is talking about hachazara. The last part of the Mishnah. The first part in the Mishnah, you don't know what it's talking about. Le'itim, you can say goes on Shi, you can say goes on Achzar. But the last two lines in the Mishnah, the Shami Yarim, Loi Marzim, Lisola Marzim, that's clearly talking about Achzar. So the Gemara says, maybe Rav Chelva was comment in the name of Rav, Misaris Rav Chelva, Reishit Koi, who says Rav Chelva is commenting on the first half of the Mishnah, perhaps Asefa Koi, Lisola Marzirin, says the Ferish Machlegis, Bisham, so do we permit Achzar? And we pass like this, we do permit it. Rav Chelva quotes in the name of Rav. It's only Mutter al Gaba. Al Tocho is called the Nesini Mechadish. It's not called the Hemsha. Just like you need Oide Biyodei. Lo Yinich al Gabi Karka. You need Daita Lahachzir. That it should be a Hemsha from before. Hachzar is Mutter because I label it as Shehiyah. So it's only called the Hemsha if it's al Gaba. You're going to put it al Tocho. That's like a Panu Chadosh's Bolikam. Before the pot was Megula. Now the part is Mechusa, so that's not called the Hemshah from Yisrael. So the Gemara says, of course Rav Chelva's comment goes on Hachzor. But it doesn't necessarily prove that the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about Hachzor. It could be the ratio talks about Shia. And the Sefer, the last line, last two lines of the Mishnah, are clearly talking about Hachzor. Rav Chelva's comment goes on the Sefer. So you can't tell. So he's still open to the both possibilities. Is the ratio of the Mishnah talking about Shia, in which case it's clearly against Chananya? So you have a Stam Mishnah, Halachic Stam Mishnah against Chananya. But he say no, the Reish of the Mishnah is talking about Hachazorah. And she is Stamuta without a blach, if it's Higil Amachal Ben Yosoi. He says, no Chashash, Ami Yechav. So we don't know. It's up in the air. We don't know. So the Gemara says, Toshma Latziyana de Tosef, Teshtei Kiris Hamasima is twins. Tomen are twins. So Teshtei Kiris Hamasima is, you have two burners that are attached to each other. We usually have four burners. Some people have a small apartment, they have only two burners. Some people have one burner. Okay. The shtei kiris hamasima is the two burners that are attached to each other. Rashi writes, shtei kiris hamasima is twins. What do you mean twins? Siamese twins. The chuboris yachad, Rashi says. The Siamese twins. The two kiris are attached. The two burners are attached. Okay. Achaz grufa ktum lachsheni grufa ktum. One has a blach, one burn has blach, one burn does not have a blach. So what's the aloche? So the Tosefta says, mashen al grufa ktum, ve mashen al sheinu grufa ve einu ktum. You're permitted to leave food on that blach, on the one that has the blach. And you're not permitted to leave food on the one that doesn't have the blach. No, easy enough. Mahi mashen, what are you allowed to leave? So that's the machlegis, b'shamim b'sul. So b'shamim say, ve lo klum. Wow, this is a new version. This does not correspond to what it says in the Mishnah. Usually Stam Mishnah Rab Meir, and here the Tanakam and the Tosefta is Rab Meir. So this is an exception to the rule that the Stam Mishnah over here is not Rab Meir. Stam Mishnah here is Rab Yudah. Because according to this version and the Tosefta, Rab Meir says according to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, Umayin Mashim Mishamim Rolai Klum. You're not permitted to do Shi at all. Sorry, we don't accept that. The Sil Seicham and Abalai Tavshah. Okay, if you remove the pot and you want to put it back on, so the divrei hakolayach, everybody bein lebe samay bein lebe silum, everybody agrees there's no heter to do hachazara. Period. Divrei Rav Meir. Wow, he's very machmir that the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah is clearly not Rav Meir. Rabbi Yudah Meir, b'sham yamim chamin avloy tavshil, b'silam chamin v'tavshil. Rabbi Yudah's version is both b'sham and b'sil permit shehiya, but they're just arguing the details. What's mutter? So b'sham I only permit shehiya on soup and not on the solids. Only on the chamin, not on the tapshil, and b'sila lamekel, you have to permit it to leave on top of the fire and have Shabbat the soup, and the chicken and the kugel, all the solids, the liquids, you can leave everything on the fire. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That's what it says in the Mishnah. We pass like b'sila. And then there's a second machlekes b'sham b'sila regarding hachazar. B'sham yom not lavolam asim b'sham I dinoy heter hachazar. B'sila maf machzir. So the Mishnah goes like Reb Yudah. Usually, Stam Mishnah Rameh Rav Yudah, usually Halacha Rav Yudah. So that's what it is over here also, because the Stam Mishnah goes like that also. So usually, the Stam Mishnah is Rameh. Here it's not. Here it's a Stam Mishnah like Rav Yudah against Rameh, and that's the way we accept, like Rav Yudah's version of the Machlekes B'sham Bisil. B'sham Bisil were many generations before Rameh Rav Yudah. Shammai and Hillel, the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechta Shabbos, Shammai and Hillel. Hillel was the chief rabbi, Shammai was the assistant chief rabbi. So they lived 100 years before the Churban HaBayis. And they had Talmidim and Talmidim. By the time they had Talmidim, by the time they had Beisham and the Beis Hillel, that was before the Churban HaBayis. They had big machlekes in the Beis HaMikdash about different karbanas. The Beis Hillel held their shittas, the Shammai held their shittas. And Rameh Rav Yudah is already years after the Churban HaBayis. Meir Abud is quite a while after the Churban HaBayis. They weren't alive as Man HaBayis, so they were way after the whole B'sham and Bisil. So they had two versions. What was the Machlek? The B'sham Bisil didn't exist anymore. They didn't have any books. They didn't write down, they hadn't written down the Torah Shemal Peh. So there were two versions of what the Machlek. They knew there was a Machlek as B'sham and Bisil. There are two different versions of what the Machlek is. So the Mishnah corresponds to Abud's version of the Machlek as B'sham and Bisil. So the Gemara says that what? Yamir Bishlaim Elishos Tanan. If the Mishnah Lo Yitin goes on Shia, so then the Mishnah follows Rav Yudah. Asnitz Mani Rav Yudah. The Mishnah clearly goes like Rav Yudah against Rameh. Eli Yamrid Lahachsit Tanan. But if you're going to tell me the ratio of the Mishnah Lo Yitin goes on Hachazorah, for the purpose of Hachazorah, you have to have Gruf of Tumah. But for the purpose of Shia, it's permissible to do Shia even if there's no Gruf of Tumah, provided that is the Gila Machel Ben the Rizoi. The Gemara says Eli Amid LaHachsit Tanan, but she is Mutter even without a blech if it's the Gila Machel Ben Rizoi like Chananya. So the Gemara says Masis Man like Rabbi Yudah like Rabbi Meir. Here Rabbi Yudah Kasher LeBeis Shammai, yet nothing fits in. The Gemara says nothing makes any sense. So the Gemara says Vila Tana Dan. Gemara says. So what does Gemara say? And for the Gemara, the Yolamei Malach, the Gemara just says that if the first line, the first half of the Mishnah goes on Shia, and the second two lines, the last two lines of the Mishnah go on Hazara, so everything in the Mishnah corresponds to Rav Yudah Shita. But if the first part of the Mishnah also goes on Hazara, and Shia is Mutter, if it's Yigil Machum Ben Dursa without a Blech, then the Mishnah is the Loikar Meir, the Loikar Abir, doesn't correspond to anybody Shita. That's the Gemara's Kash. So the Gemara answers, no problem. The Yolamei Malach Lahach Zetanan. You're right. Lo Yitain, the second, third line of the Mishnah, Lo Yitain goes on Hachzorah. But if he's dealing with Shia, once it's the Gilam Achman, the Sa'i is Mutta to do Shia. And the Machlekes, the detail Machlekes in the Mishnah, Misham and Yisrael, about the Chamin, Chamin with Tafshil, that goes on Shia. That goes on Shia when the Yolamei Malach Lahach Zetanan. The Tamdan Sabalak Rabbiuda Bechoda. Upal galay b'chada, he holds half like Rav. Sabad al kabir b'chada was the chamin v'tafshil, the nutzman of machzirin. That there was a double machlekes b'shamay b'silil. The second half of the Mishnah is the machlekes whether is there ever a heter to do achzor. B'shamay says never a heter to do achzor. B'silil say under certain conditions it is mut. First half of the Mishnah records machlekes b'shamay silil by Shia. What are you allowed to do Shia? So b'shamay say only on chamin on soup. Because regarding soup, it's more important to allow Shia. You want to have hot soup. And Lagabi Tafshil is no heter Shia. And Bisil says it's not correct that Shia is Mutta Beimachamid Beimatafshil. So So the basics of the Mishnah correspond to Rabbi Yehuda. Sovele kavase bechoda nachmal. The Gemara says, "Le'olam eimalach." You can say the Mishnah goes lahachzitanan, and she is mutter if it's gila machal minisoy like Hananya. The Tanadi Dan agrees partially with Rabbi Yehuda, but not 100%. Tanan sovele kav Rabbi Yehuda bechoda palgalay bechoda. He agrees most of that. Sovele kav Rabbi Yehuda bechoda b'chame v'tavshon. That's Muslim. That bechoda. That's on two things. On two things. Our Tana holds like Rabbi Yehuda's version of the two machlekes in Bisham Yisrael. That there was one machlek in Bisham Yisrael, is there ever a heter hachzar? So that's the last two lines in the Mishnah. And with respect to Shia, there was another machlek in Bisham Yisrael, whether you allow Shia only on soup or even on tapshal. Only a chamen on tapshal. Ulpal galei b'chada, our Tana in the Mishnah disagrees with one aspect of Rabbi Yehuda, namely the Tana in the Mishnah holds that like Hananya. That if the Gila Machal Ben restored, then it's permissible to do Shia without any blech. And unlike Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa, holds not so. Dilu Tam Dan Tzavadish and Tzav Tishen Agarav and Ekotam is Mutal, like Hananya, Rabbi Yehuda holds not so. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to do Shia without a blech, even if it's Mitztamik Veralo. Rabbi Yehuda Rab Meir. That's what Tosfos said over here. Rabbi Yehuda Rab Meir from Lamed Chesem and Abbe Hog, you're never allowed to do Shia without a blech, even Mitztamik Veralo. They just, Rabbi Yehuda Rab Meir argued the details would have been the evidence. If someone violated the din of Shia, if it's Mitztamik V'yofelo, so do you make a penalty or not? See, if he Mitztamik Veralo and he violated the Isser of Shia, because you're not allowed to do Shia, even Mitztamik Veralo, he violated the Isser of Shia, and all the Tanaim agree that it doesn't make sense to make a penalty. Well, it's called Menemim Lecha Shabbos. It was Mitztamik Veralo. But if it's Mitztamik V'yofelo, that's a machlekes Amei Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda clearly do not hold like Hananya. They are the Rabbanim. They're the ones who disagree all the way with Hananya. We don't hold like them bechlal. We hold the middle sheepers. We hold like Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nachman. If it's Mitztamik Veralo, then you don't need a blech. Mitztamik V'yofelo, you do need a blech. Rabbi Yechon made the other compromise. Okay. That's the Gemara. Ufal Galei Bechodo. The Tan and the Mishnah disagrees with the other aspect of Rabbi Yehuda. Which aspect? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, that they hold it's also to do Shia, even Mitztamik Veralo. And the Mishnah holds once it's a Gila Mechel Medin, so it's Mutter to do Shia without a blech. Fagalei Bechor, deal the time to dance over Lishas, Alpishen Agarav Ena Kotum, you don't need a blech, even once he reaches Michael Ben Desoy. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Lishas Nami Garav Kotum and Lo, Eloi Loi, even if Mitztamik Veralo. You're not allowed to leave, not only that he disagrees with Hananya, on Higil Amachal Ben Desoy, Rabbi Yehuda even disagrees on Mitztamik Veralo. Sure. That's the Gemara. Good. So we have the four. We have a prohibition of Shehiya. She is the exception to the rule. More than 39 of us malachas that they still say in the first parak, you're allowed to set up an Erev Shabbos. The one exception to the rule is the 39th malacha of cooking food. Why? Not because we're concerned, not because the Isser Bishol is Mohammed. No, we're talking about the Isser Shem Yechata is Mechaba Omavir. Because when it comes to food, we're afraid that people are going to forget that it's Shabbos. They're so interested in eating the food, hot food, they may forget that it's Shabbos. They'll poke around and they'll violate Mechaba Omavir. So that's the one exception to the rule, that you're not allowed to set up the system. And then the Tanoim and Amoraim had four opinions. Up until what point do you say that it's usur to leave the food on the fire without a blech? So Hananya is the biggest mekel. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are the biggest machmir, and they say never mutter without a blech. And then you have Rabbi Yochanan is next to Hananya, he's the biggest mekel. He's the second biggest mekel. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nachman, that's how we paskin. They're a little more mekel than Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, but they're not mekel as much as Hananya. So these are the four shittas, two Aptanoim and two Amoraim. We mentioned on different occasions that the Gemara has a klal, Ein Bez Miochel about the Divrei Mechitzes Nachavim Kein Fugar Lamein B'chokhna V'minyan, that the later Bezin cannot repeal a Takona de Rabban that was instituted by an earlier Bezin, unless the later Bezin is greater B'chokhna V'minyan. But that's only if they want to repeal a Takona de Rabban. What if they argue? They're not repealing a Takana Rabbanon. They're arguing about the details of a Din de Rabbanon. They're arguing about the details of a Din de Rabbanon. They're not repealing. It's not that they're masking with the earlier Tanoim and they want to repeal it. They're arguing on the details. How should you set up the Din de Rabbanon? So that all the Rishonim quote from the Rishonim, that there you don't require the rule of you don't require Gadol B'chaf from the Binyan. The pasuk says the Basar L'Shefet Tashei B'Yamim Hayim Ein Lo Chal L'Shefet Shabiyamech Yiftech L'Dar Kishmul B'Dar. In every generation, the Talmid HaChamim who are entitled to an opinion. That's it. If you have the Eidah conference, every guy is going to go. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. You have to know how to learn. You have to know how to read with Nekudas at least. They have the Mishnah Berurah, not with the Nekudas. They just gave me a copy and I said, Mishnah Berurah with Nekudas. Okay. So you have to be able to read Chash with Nekudas to be entitled to an opinion. There's some people can't even read with Dots. They can't look up the Dots. They're not entitled to an opinion. But if you have a person who's knowledgeable, is entitled to an opinion, then it's permitted to disagree with the earlier Chachamim, even if they're greater, the Chachamim opinion. So the Rambam quotes this. Tosfos and Rambam, they all quote this in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the beginning of Shviyas. Beginning of Shviyas, the Mishnah quotes that Rabbi Gamliel is the chief rabbi after the Churban by Shein, and he disagreed with Bishamah and Bisil. So Yerushalmi asked, what did he think he was greater than the Bishamah and the Bisil put together? That he did away with the whole din of Tosef and Shviyas. So the Gemara says, no, B'shosh Asur Lamikra Samcho, B'shosh Hitiru Lamikra Samcho. When Bisham and Bisil said L'chumer that there is a din of Tosef and Shviyas, it was based on Psukim. They darshan the Psukim one way. Rabbi Gamliel, generations later, darshan the Psukim differently. He had a right to disagree. He was not greater B'chachma V'minyan, but he felt that you don't need God B'chachma V'minyan. He felt that he was entitled to an opinion. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. He looked in Shadas at Shuvas for him. Sometimes it's the biggest joke. People put out Shadas at Shuvas. Sometimes they have very long beards, sometimes they're clean shaven. I don't think it's more of one than of the other. Different people, sometimes clean shaven, sometimes long beards. They just don't know what they're talking about. It's a chacham shalohi gila rab. Maybe it's not even a chacham. Maybe it's not even a chacham. Shalohi gila rab is not entitled to an opinion. But one who is entitled to an opinion is permitted even to disagree with those who preceded him, even though he knows that those who preceded him were greater b'chachma v'minyan. We mentioned, the Gemara says that the whole period of the Bais Rishon, they did the Nisach HaYayin one way. For 410 years, they did Nisach HaYayin one way. Then the period of Bais Sheni, after 70 years of a pause of Golas Bavel, they did the Nisach HaYayin totally differently. That's the Gemara Zvachim, because they darshan the Psukim differently. So the Sfasemis and the Chidushim Al HaShas and Zvachim Yester Kashi, he means to say that for 410 years of the Bais Rishon, they were never yoyed to the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, of Nisach HaYayin properly. They always did it wrong. So it doesn't really give a satisfactory answer. So he goes, I'll pick up Bala, he tries to triumph, why it had to be different. There was no Eish Ben HaShamayim in the Bais Sheni, that's why they had to do the Nisach HaYayin differently. The Pashtus is that the Teretz is, Eilu V'Eilu Diri L'Kim Chak, that's the Halacha. HaShefet HaShe'a B'Yamim Ha'em, Ein Lo Chal HaShefet Shebi'a Mecha. You don't require a Bezen Gadol B'Chof Me V'Minyin. A Tamach Chacham, if he's the Gia, Lo Hayro, is permitted and obligated to give his honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with precedent, even if he has 410 years of precedent. The halacha doesn't require gadol b'chachma v'minyan. I said the Rama quotes this in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. So the Keshmishna is Takasha. So how come the Gemara has all the time, all over Shas? The Gemara says, an Amora makes a statement. The Gemara says, he's not entitled to make such a statement, it's against all the time. Right? The Gemara says, you're right, Tiyufta the Resh Lakish Tiyufta. He's up different. Why is it a Tiyufta? Why don't you just say he's entitled to his opinion? So the Kesa Mishneh points out, truth of the matter is, the Amoraim had a right to disagree with the Tanaim. There is no hard and fast rule. Amoraim are entitled to disagree with Tanaim. But their attitude was that they're not going to take on all the Tanaim. If you're going to show them that all the Tanaim disagree, then they're going to give in and they're not going to be chaylik on all the Tanaim. But once in a while you find in the Gemara that the Amoraim do disagree, they knew all the Tanaim disagree, and they still didn't agree with him. Like over here, you have the two shittas in the Tanoim, Chananya and Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Then you have in the middle Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shmuel. And Tosfos claims, "Well, Ashkenazim shouldn't tanya the Saba Hachi." They don't have any Tana who says the middle shittah is Rabbi Yechanan's shittah, Rabbi Shmuel's shittah. They disagreed with all the Tanoim. They're entitled to disagree. So then the question begs itself. The Ramo writes in Chash Mishpat Simchafei that if you live in the 1500s, Ramo lived in the 1500s. You want to disagree with the Tshuvas Hagoyim who lived so many years earlier, so maybe you're making a mistake. So he says, consult with your contemporaries and tell them you're right, why you think they're going to my wrong. So if they support you, then he says you have a right to paskin against the Tshuvas HaGoyim. So then the Rama pushes and he says, so why don't we have a right to disagree with the Gemara? Let's say we see a pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara says a pshat, the Deichik pshat. We have a better pshat than the Mishnah. We're going to paskin like our pshat. He used to be a professor in Philadelphia in Dropsy College. He used to write essays like that. He quotes a Mishnah, then he quotes what Rabbi Shmuel said, then he says, "Then nearly doichek, it's fein nearly lefarish." He gives his own pshat in the Mishnah. Fein nearly lefarish, nearly doichek. Just like you say, the Marsha says a pshat on Tesis. He says, "I don't agree, even nearly liashik, not like the Marsha." So he says that an Amaroi, he doesn't agree with the pshat of the Amaroi. So the Ramos says, just like I have a cloud, the Eilecha L'Shefet should be a Mecho. If you disagree with the Goyim, if you consult with others and they think that you have a point, so you have a right to pass and against the Goyim, so why can't you disagree with the Gemara? So he says, no, that you can't disagree. That's a klal in the Gemara. Ravina Ravashi Soif Haro. That's the Gemara in Bob Metzia and Daf Pehei. The Gemara says that the Amaroim, some of the Amaroim had seen a Sefer that's called Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. That's the book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon saw that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and he told him about the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. And then God is not going to reveal himself in every generation and tell every single person all the Mitzvos HaTorah, all the Mitzvos Bnei Noach, to every Goy, and all the Targum Mitzvos to every Jew. He revealed himself in one time to Adam HaRishon, revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai, and then everything's going to be transmitted by Masorah, by tradition. So the question is, but the Masorah can be distorted over the years. So what's going to be? If the Masorah is going to be distorted after 6,000 years, you're going to have a whole different system of Sheva Mitzvahs V'Nerach, and a whole different system, an incorrect, inaccurate system of Targag Mitzvah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam showed Avraham Avinu what's called the Sefer. The Ribbono Shel Olam showed Adam HaRishon. A Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. Zeh Sefer told the Sodom. He showed Adam HaRishon a Sefer, the history of the world and the history of the development of the Halacha, that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and he gave the Torah, and he's going to see to it that everything goes in the direction that he wants. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to pull the strings behind the scenes and see to it that history develops the way he wants it to develop. It's not going to go out of hand. That's hard to believe, that all the Jews who were killed in Europe and all the tragedies that occurred in the history of the world, everything is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. Hard to believe, but that's what we believe, that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what's happening and this is the way he wants things to go. And the development of the Torah, everything is developing in the direction that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. So the Gemara has snatches from that Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon. So it's one of the lines in the Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon quoted in Bav Metzia Daf Pehei is that Ravina Ravashi Asoif HaRo. What exactly does that mean? So the Pashtus is that that's what it means, that that was the end of a Tkufa. Up until the days of Ravina Ravashi, all of the Chachamim had a right to disagree with each other. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says goes, it's Teres Moshe. He's the Balabas. But you can argue with Yeshua ben Nun. So starting from Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Rabbi Ravashi, everybody has a right to argue with whoever preceded. Amaron can argue with the Tanoim. Tanoim can argue with Yeshua ben Nun. Everybody has a right to express their opinion. Sometimes it may not be so intelligent, may not be so wise to argue with Yeshua ben Nun. Stami must have heard from Moshe Rabbeinu a couple of dinim that you who live 1,000 years later, how are you going to know better than Yeshua ben Nun? So sometimes not so smart, you're probably making a mistake. But if you know that Yeshua ben Nun was mechadish this tshuva on his own, a tikkul Torah on his own, they didn't hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu, and you disagree, so you're entitled to your opinion. But after the days of Rabbi Rabashi, that's called Seif HaRo. That's the end of the period, the period of the full development of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's called HaRo. HaRo is only in Torah Shebal Peh. And after the period of Ravina Ravashi, then there's a lower level of Hairoa, a lower level of Torah Shebal Peh. And in that period of time, after the days of Ravina Ravashi, again, everybody has right to disagree with everybody else. And because they're all Chachmei Avasar, so then we say, Ein Lecha L'Shefet Shebi Amecha. So those who live after the days of Ravina Ravashi are not entitled to express an opinion and disagreement with the Maskanas that were arrived at in the days of Ravina Ravashi. Because that's called Soif Hairoa. That's the end of the Tkufa. The Shad is the end of what Kufa? What happened in the days of Rabbi Ravashi? So they edited the Talmud Babli. No. So what's the big deal? So therefore, because they edited the Talmud Babli, therefore everything changed. So it's usually assumed there is a machlokes among the history books and the machlokes among the Achronim. When did they start teaching Mishnayis Mitoch Aksav from a written text? So it's usually the rove of the historians and the rove of the Achronim hold that started at the days of Ravina Ravash. Even after Rebbe edited the Mishnayos, they were still recited Baal Peh. They weren't written down. They weren't taught Mitoch Aksav. Rove of the history books and rove of the Achronim assume that it only began in the days of Ravina Ravash that they started to teach from a text, the Torah Shebal Peh from a text. So that's assumed based on the Parshas HaShavuot this week, in the end of Kisisa. It says, Ksav l'chas advarm ha'ele, ki api advarm ha'ele karati itchabris ves Yisrael. Ksav l'chas advarm ha'ele is a niyot. You should only write down advarm ha'ele, only write down these things and not Torah Shabbateh. Ki api advarm ha'ele means karati itchabris ves Yisrael. The Gemara says in Gittin, Daf Nun Tes, Lakos HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris yim Yisrael el al Torah Shabbateh. The Kriis's bris is really on the Torah Shabbateh, not on the Torah Shabbosav. Torah Shabbosav was officially open to the Umas Olam to look into as well. The Gemara says in Saito, in Terek Elin Amorim, that when Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden with Bnei Yisrael, he put up the Yud Beis Avonim, and he wrote Kol HaTarakula, Vesad HaTolis HaMasid, and he, the Bayer Heitev, he translated into Shivim Loshen, and it was open to the public. Whoever wants can read the Torah Shabbosav. Everybody, it's for the Umas Olam to read. They don't have to observe everything in Torah Shabbosav, they only have to keep the Shevet Mitzvahs ben Enef, but it's open for them to look at. The Torah Shabbateh is not open for the Umas Olam to look at. You're not supposed to teach Torah Shabbateh to the Umas Olam. Unless in the Sheva Mitzvahs the two. The Gemara says in the Sheva Mitzvahs, if they're interested in knowing about the details of the Sheva Mitzvahs, okay. But then we can teach this Negev to them. But the rest of the Torah Shabbateh, they're allowed to look at, even though it's not Negev to them. All the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, whatever it says in Tanakh, they can read. But the Torah Shabbateh is not available for the Goyim. Outside of the area of the Sheva Mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris yim Yisrael el al Torah Shabbateh. That's why it says, Sov l'chos ha'dvarim ha'ele zanit. Only write down the Torah Shabbateh. Don't write down the Torah Shabbateh. Ki al pi ha'dvarim ha'ki over here probably means despite the fact that sometimes Rashi writes in Chumash ki mishamish b'dalad l'shem. The word ki has four different meanings. Some of the four meanings have four different meanings. So you have many more than four different meanings. And Ibn Ezra points out a few times in Tanakh and in the Iri, some of the Mefarshim of Tanakh point out that sometimes the word ki means because, this and this and this, because of that, and sometimes ki means despite the fact that, the opposite from ki, because of. So here, this pasuk also seems to say, I want you to write down the Rabban Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to write down the Torah Shabbat, despite the fact, ki api hadvarim ha'el kratir tchavis v'es Yisrael, despite the fact that the Kriis's bris with the Jewish people is really based on the Torah Shabbateh, so what is it our responsibility to write down the Torah Shabbateh? Baruch Shalom says, no, I want you to write it down anyway, despite the fact that the Ikki Kriis's bris is on the Torah Shabbateh. So the Gemara sees a miut in Hadvarm Ha'ela. Sov l'chos Hadvarm Ha'ela, Dafka Hadvarm Ha'ela, not Torah Shabbateh. Ki al pi Hadvarm Ha'ela karati et chabris, only Dvarm Shabbateh should be recited Ba'alpeh, and Dvarm Shabbateh should not be recited Ba'alpeh. When you teach over Torah, when you transmit the Torah, so the Baal Kore shouldn't lain Baal Peh, yes, the lain Mitoh Haksav. And when the Rebbe teaches Torah Shabbat Peh, he's not supposed to read from a text of the Gemara, from a text of the Tosfos, and show you this line and that line and the other line. You're not supposed to do like that. That's the Heter that they came up with in the later generations. The Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Temura, that Eis Lassus Lashem Eteret Teresecho, that they saw the Torah was going to be forgotten because of all the Beditas and all the pogroms. So he said, it's better to learn Torah. What does it mean, Aslas Lashem Eferu Teresecha? So Rashi writes on Brachas, on the Mishnah at the beginning of the last parak. The Mishnah says there that they allowed Hitira Sheva Shana B'Shem, that you're allowed to greet someone and mention Shem Hashem in the greeting. So Chashasha Moti Shem Shamayim Lo Atola, what is he pronouncing Shem Hashem for nothing? So the Mishnah says, it's okay. Aslas Lashem Eferu Teresecha. So Rashi writes on the Mishnah, that the Chachamim can allow you to do Dova Hanira Osa. Dova Hanira Osa. It's not like Hashem Efer Tosech doesn't mean that they can allow you to do a Dova Osa. Rashi says Dova Hanira Osa. What does it mean? Sheilo Shalom Hashem. I mention Shem Hashem when I greet someone. Basically, strictly speaking, it's not a Motzi Shem Shemaim Lo Atola. It's not Lo Atola. I want to greet you. Bruchim to you. Bruchim Atem Lashem. You should be blessed. The Rabban Shalom should give you a bracha. So that's not really Levatol. It looks a little bit. Ndara Hanira also. So that they're allowed to, they're permitted, they can allow people to do Dava Hanira also. So how does Rashi understand this Gemara? As the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Tmura, it's last Rashem Efer Teresecha, that's why they were permitted to write down the Torah Shabbateh. Is that a not right violation of the Din? Dvam Shabbateh, Yatra Shabbateh, Yom HaMiksah. The answer is it doesn't, so the Rishonim say like this. I think the Iraim says like that. It doesn't mean that there's an Isir. It's an Avera. It's an Avera if you give a shiur by reading the text and showing the line and the Tosfos and the Mishnah and the Gemara. This, not that, that's not an Avera. The more complete style of Lima, Torah Shabbat Peh should be to transmit Torah Shabbat Peh, Baal Peh. The more complete way to teach Torah Shebichsav is by doing it Mitorach Haktzav. If you'll teach Torah Shebalpeh by using a text, you're not in complete fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says, Dvarim Shebalpeh, Iyata Rasholi Yom Bichsav. If you teach it from a text, you're not in fulfillment, you're not in complete fulfillment of the mitzvah of Lima Torah Shebalpeh properly. Lima Torah Shebalpeh supposed to be on the highest level possible is to transmit it Balpeh. But if the alternative is, what's the alternative? If the alternative is I'm going to give a shiur and everything is going to be Balpeh, so do it the more shleimus dig away. Why do it the mekukel dig away? But if the alternative is that half of the Torah is going to be forgotten, 25% of the Torah is going to be forgotten, so we'll grab this, so rather than lose 25% of the Torah and the 75% you're going to hold on this high level, in the next generation 25% of that is going to be lost, next generation 25% of that is going to be lost, going to be more pogroms and more pogroms. So already we recommend everybody should do the Limud HaTorah on a lower level, not in its complete form, in order to preserve the whole Torah. So that's what's assumed to be the pshat. Ravina Rabashi Sofer Ruah. After the days of Ravina Rabashi, that's when they started to teach Torah Shebal Peh Mitoch Haktzav. So Pidin, that's a lower level of Masorah. The highest level of Masorah is when the Torah Shebal Peh is being transmitted Bal Peh. When it's being transmitted Mitoch Haktzav from the text, that's a lower level. So that's what the Ramah quotes Laloche, that those after the days of Ravina Rabashi don't have the right to be chodek on those before the days of Ravina Rabashi. And Amora has the right to disagree with Tan, you have the right to disagree with Yeshua Ben Nun. Gemara has such a lashon in Yivam. It's not. Even if Yeshua Ben Nun says that, I won't accept it. It's a lashon in Gemara in Yivam. They're not going to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu says they will accept. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Torah's Moshe. He's the boss. But Yeshua Ben Nun is not more balabas than Ravina Rabashi. So they have a right to disagree with him. And the later generations, they have a right to disagree with the earlier generations. Yeah. So that this Gemara is an example of that. You have Rabbi Yochanan, you have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nachman, they all disagree with all the Tanoi. There's no Tana who says like that. The Ashton Tana, the Sabahach, nobody holds like that. This is one of the several examples of a case where you have Amaroyim disagreeing with all the Tanoi.
I mean, this whole thing seems very, very difficult. First of all, look at you say that an Akram doesn't argue with Rishon, but even at a more fundamental thing, that anybody can come and say, well, I've learned enough and I feel comfortable in saying anything from the Gemara before that I can hold by, than anything else, it's up for grabs, that I've learned through this sugya, that sugya, and I just prefer this kind of thing, and I don't care that there was that this was a machloket shahaya, and then we had the machloket was done, and paskin one way, but I prefer the other way, and I'm just going to go like that now. It seems to completely negate the idea of a halachic process.
This is the halachic process. Precedent doesn't count. But a person has to be a chacham shegiyah l'oiros. If he doesn't know the whole discussion of what was going on in the last 2,000 years, so he's probably not entitled to an opinion. But if the person is entitled to an opinion, once he is entitled to an opinion, there's a chacham shegiyah l'oiros, this is the halachic process, that we don't follow precedent. And every generation, the chachmei HaTorah in every generation, have a right to disagree with those who preceded them. That was always kafi darkei shel Torah.
Very problem that people will just simply say, well, since there was an opinion back then, I know that opinion, this one sits better with me. There are certain things that we hold today, there was an opinion, now it's it, and now you're going to go hold by that opinion. Oh, well, you know, I think I'm just saying that.
What do you mean, kfira? What's the kfira? What shiach, Zohar? What's the kfira? No, I don't understand what you mean.
All things are we simply talking about Ashkafa is also halacha.
Now, Soleci used to say that people make a mistake. They think we divide the Torah into two areas, halacha and Ashkafa. He says halacha is what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, what you have to do with your body, with your mouth, with your hands, with your feet, with your stomach. And then hashkafa is what you're allowed to think, what you're not allowed to think, when you have to think. It's also another part of the body. It's also halacha. The halacha of the mind. The halacha of the mind, the halacha of the hand, the halacha of the mouth, the halacha of the eyes. What you're allowed to look at, what you're not allowed to look at, what you have to look at, and what you have to think, what you're not allowed to think, and what you're permitted to think. Also mutar and chiyuv. The three. Hashkafa is also halacha. Everything is halacha.
Right, exactly. So it's all halacha.
Correct.
Something starts thinking of it. You know, maybe we learn the sources, so you can say Mamela can't do that anymore because they feel comfortable doing it, there are things that are outside the pale, no?
And there are. There are a lot of things that are outside of the pale. Absolutely. A person has to be a chacham shehigir lo haruah to know where is there room for chidush and what's considered shinui. Chidush, that's the Rabban Shalom appreciates chidushim. The Medrash says on the pasuk in Shiraz Dvorah, Itchar lehim chadashim oz lochem shorim. So the pasuk shot in the pasuk is when the Jewish people decided to worship Avodah Zarah, Yitchar lehim chadashim, and the Jews chose lehim chadashim nu Avodah Zarah, oz lochem shorim. Then there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Jewish people and he brought war into Eretz Yisrael. And the Jews were not prepared for the war. Morgan and Yerubba, right off Barbai Malapisa, they weren't prepared, they didn't have any weapons. So the Medrash and the Alkut Shimoni has an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk. If Charalakim Chadashim Loshim Kodesh, HaKadosh Baruch appreciates Chidush Yitera. It's because of that, Ozlach Mashah, that's why Bnei Yisrael, Arasek and Mechamta Shal Tera, and we come up with Chidush Yitera. Chidush Yitera, the Rabbi Shalom loves it, he appreciates it very much. But Talmud Chacham has to know what's a Chidush, what's within the pale and what's within, out of the pale. What's Nitzan Dayama, what's a Chiddush, and what's called a Shinui? Because we believe Lo Satara, Lo Sei Mechlefes, Lo Sei Tara Cheres, Meis HaBayri, Boshma, there's no Shinui. The person has to be on a Madrega of learning, and has to be Higiel HaRua, to know what's Nitzan Dayama, what's not Nitzan Dayama. There's some things that are just not Nitzan Dayama.
And this is
Not really. You have the Vilna going some in rare occasions takes on all the Rishonim. He disagrees with all the Rishonim that they were all wrong. You have to study the different Rishonim and study the Gemara and see maybe there's a pshat that's better than what all the Rishonim say. It'll be rare to come up with a pshat that's better than all the Rishonim. Some people are just God's gift to the world. They're such geniuses. They always come up on every Gemara with a new pshat. If people would also view them as God's gift to the world, that's another question. Arrogant people usually think that they're smarter than everybody else. One of the factors in determining whether a person is entitled to an opinion is how humble is he. The more humble a person is, so the more he's entitled to an opinion. The Gemara says, "Be pasken like the Bethilah," because they were greater. They were greater, they were more humble than the Beis Shammai. It doesn't mean Beis Shammai were arrogant, they were still more humble than the Beis Shammai. So that's one of the considerations in determining whether one is a Chacham Shegir or not. Many people make a mistake about themselves. They publish their Shalosh Teshuvos and they think that they're God's gift to the world. They think that they're Hegir or not. It's just not so. But one who is a Chacham Shegir or not, like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, says he doesn't know, maybe he wasn't a Gil Ara, but people pressured him and people insisted that he was a Gil Ara. So he says, if so, then he feels compelled to express his honest and goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with the Chacham Sofer and the Rebbe Yehuda.
Somebody can get a Madriga that their opinion has inherent worth. Now, it's not that only opinions are not inherent worth, but somebody
most Chachamim are not entitled to an opinion. Most people who publish Shalosh Teshuvos are not entitled to an opinion. To be a Chacham Shegil or Rod, that's quite a madriga. As I said, there are many Shalosh Teshuvos written by people with beards, without beards, and their mamas joke books. They're not entitled to an opinion at all. But if he is a Gil or Rod, like Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nachman, then they have a right even to disagree with the Tanakh. Okay? It's a very important topic.